Hello and welcome back to the Dentistry Online podcast. Today I'm with Jonathan Watson, a director at Christie & Co. So how was lockdown for you guys?
Yeah, lockdown was an unusual time, wasn't it, to say the least? I think obviously no one was predicting that, and I think it's fair to say there was a big pause in the dental sales market. I think everyone's priorities was rightly with themselves and their family, and sort of their business in a sort of staying afloat sense. And I don't think people were necessarily looking to buy and sell at that point. Everything was on hold. But it was definitely a pause. It wasn't a stop. And we didn't see that sort of massive hit that we thought we may have seen.
I mean, that's definitely a good thing. And I think I've seen that there has actually been a spike in interest now that sort of, I mean, I don't want to say the worst is gone, but hopefully the worst is over with. How did the pandemic sort of affect the value of a practice? I know you said it was poor, you know, the market paused, but did you see it fluctuate at all?
Well, I think the nature of our business, I mean, the deals take sort of anywhere between 3 to 12 months, depending on the complexity of the deals. So it's really difficult to gauge, you know, meaningful evidence in terms of where values were in that short time period. I think since June and since dental practices opened, as you said, sort of the market has rebounded. I mean, particularly with the NHS market, with the announcements that practitioners would be able to deliver 20% of activity and therefore would be able to still receive their NHS payments. So that was obviously huge for the NHS market. And even on the private side of things, where you're obviously reliant on the patients coming in and sort of maintaining turnover, although there were, you know, there was a huge sort of drop off, obviously, in that short term of income. We've seen as patients have gone back and the market has recovered, and the nation has recovered, people have come in and we're hearing sort of private revenues up at 70-80% of where they were in many cases. Some practitioners saying income has returned completely. So, I mean, you know, that's sort of what happened in the short term. But I think the thing to say is, you know, there's a huge imbalance of supply and demand. And for every practice we launched to the market, and this is perhaps pre-COVID, we had 5, 6, 7, or 8 people looking to view that practice. And that sort of imbalance isn't going to go away anytime soon. So, you know, in an essence, values have maintained.
Okay. I mean, was there any point where you were a little bit worried about the future of the industry? Because I know you said there was a small period, you know, the lockdown period, which was the end of March, when it was, you know, at its most strict. Was there any moment where you were a bit worried about what might happen?
Yeah. I mean, as I said, you know, it's a dental practice. It is reliant on patients and consumers coming in and seeing the dentist. So I think until dental practices opened, we did have a concern. We had a few deals that were still going through because predominantly NHS deals that, you know, the banks continued to support, which we're very grateful. Buyers generally took a view and said, this is a blip. And, you know, maybe that naivety from all of us that this is going to be a 2-month thing, 2 or 3 month thing, was managed to get a few deals over the line. But no, it was a concern, absolutely, that the dental market, sales market, hit considerably, but luckily, I know it felt like a long time in that sort of March through to May, June time, but really it was a couple of months of concern. We still got the deals over the line, generally speaking, and then dental practices open and sort of open the floodgates again, I guess.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think from June onwards, obviously people were slowly getting back to practice, and there were and still are some quite major obstacles when it comes to generating income and getting enough practices through the doors, get enough patients through the doors, with fallow time as well, which is particularly sort of a major hindrance when it comes to, yeah, like I said, patient footfall. But I mean, what are your predictions for the coming months? And I know that's quite an odd question because we don't really know what's around the corner next week, let alone in a few months' time. But what, as it stands now, what would you see unfolding over the next few months?
Yeah, sure. I think to look at the NHS and private markets separately, because I think there are noticeable differences. I think with the NHS, we've been told that, as I mentioned, practitioners have to deliver 20% of normal activity. We may see that extend to the end of the calendar year, and we'll see what happens in terms of the first quarter of next year up to the end of the financial year. And potentially it'll be, well, I guess we'll be recovering at the rate that the nation is, and we'll have to wait to see what happens with various lockdowns across the country. But we'll see that recovery there. You know, we don't have a crystal ball. I think you are going to still receive your NHS monies. It's just going to be how much dentistry you can deliver in return to receive it. And that will, as I say, mirror the nation's recovery. In terms of the private market, you know, it has surprised us. I think there has been a rebound of people, you know, sat there either in pain or for aesthetic dentistry who have been sat there. And I think your point on follow time is absolutely key. But, you know, I think the smarter operators or the operators with more space potentially, you know, we'll find ways to make it work safely. I think it helps that we're all sat on Zoom looking at each other's teeth and looking at our own teeth. And I think there will be a sort of rebound of cosmetic dentistry over the next few months, which will be interesting. But I think in terms of going to the valuation side, I think on the private side, I think we'll just see a little bit more, maybe some buyers just sort of defer the proceeds a little bit. So maybe they'll only pay, I don't know, 70-80% on completion. And then the remaining money will be sort of dependent on the recovery of their private business. But that said, you know, as I said, we're hearing that many operators are back up at sort of, as I said, 70-80% of where they were. And I appreciate that's not the case. And maybe that's more difficult for the single-handed operator. And some of the large operators in groups have had a bit more of a network to be able to get to that position and more space, as I mentioned. Mm-hmm. But there are encouraging signs we're hearing.
Yeah, definitely. I think your point about private dentistry there was important. I mean, they have faced financial troubles, quite significant financial troubles since the beginning, and have basically fallen outside the requirements for a lot of government support and funding and grants, which I think has sort of taken its toll on a lot of them. But like you said, cosmetic dentistry, I've spoken to a number of dentists who said they've just seen increasing interest in cosmetic treatments and cosmetic procedures. And I think, you know, we joke about Zoom, but it is true that people are spending more time looking at themselves and sort of sitting around and thinking about what they could potentially invest in, especially if they have got more disposable income in some cases than they've ever had previously. What I was going to ask was, have at the beginning, so when practices started to get back to work or open their doors again in June, have you seen an increasing sort of confidence grow as the months have gone on since that happened?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I'm not going to pretend there isn't some caution from some buyers, and of course there will be as we're going into the unknown, aren't we? I think there's been a huge rebound of interest from all buyer types, you know, and in terms of, you know, the buyer types. I mean, you mentioned there that people who have been, have had financial difficulties. I mean, the big change we've seen is the smaller practices have been perhaps the most in demand, and they've been typically from associates and first time buyers, smaller private practices, which, you know, historically were a little bit of a harder sell in trying to marry up that sort of perfect buyer and seller and somebody who buys into the ethos of the practice and all that sort of thing. And actually, I think those financial difficulties of the potentially the private associates who, like you say, maybe in that sort of high earner bracket haven't been as well supported as others, has actually seen them come into ownership. And that has been the sort of quite unusual change we've seen. And you know, I think it's quite akin to the pharmacy sector. A few years ago, they had all their sort of government spending cuts. The pharmacy sector was struggling, and they cut back on what they were paying pharmacists. And then, as a result, when they said, "Oh, the pharmacies are going to close, all the smaller ones are going to close," all these sort of locum pharmacists, equivalents of associate dentists, have come into the market and sort of driven it up. And that's why it's been so successful the last 5 years. And it's, you know, we're seeing exactly the same trends in dentistry. So all these sort of associates who are struggling and thinking, do you know what? How can I secure myself an income over the next 4, 5, 10 years? I'll buy a practice. And yes, I might be pushing myself, but you mentioned I might have a little bit more disposable income. There may be savings, family money, and actually ownership might be the best bet for me.
So this sharp rise in associates, what would you say to anybody, an associate who's potentially looking to buy a practice during this time?
Well, I think it can be daunting, and they may only be a few years out of dental school. And I think it's important to take advice. I think there's a lot of noise, and you'll see noise on various sort of mediums. And I think it's important to not just speak to your friends. You know, it's take the professional advice. You know, whether that's an agent, a mortgage broker, specialist bankers, lawyers. It's really important to take that advice. I think there is a tendency in the market to do things behind closed doors at a recommendation, which is probably perfect in a sort of in the clinical sense. But when it comes to business, you need to take the right advice and appoint the right advisors. So even if it's a sort of a behind closed door deal, it's making sure you've got a specialist accountant, a specialist lawyer, agent who knows the right advice to help you through that.
So essentially, be prepared then for if this is something you're looking into, and make sure you've got sort of advice you're covered in all corners, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think particularly right now, it's really important on the funding side. And whilst banks will, you know, support the dental sector with everything going on, we mustn't forget it's a very robust sector. And if you compare it to, I mean, some of the other sectors that we handle as a company, not myself, you know, pubs, restaurants, care homes, and all the struggles that we've seen in the market. You've got to remember, dentistry is very robust. You know, it's not a volatile industry. It's very secure, and we can't forget that. That said, banks admittedly will be picky and choosy, and they will want extra securities. They will want experience generally, although they will still lend to first time buyers. But it's knowing the right lenders, the right people at the banks to get the deals through. And you can't know that. You know, I don't know that, and the dentist won't know that. You need to speak to a specialist mortgage broker who knows the stuff and knows how to get the deal done and present the information correctly to get you the money.
Absolutely. I think that's good advice. I mean, like you said, you don't know until you try. And in a sort of economic circumstances like these, you're never going to know until you go forward and present your case, I guess. It's not just the dental. I think this is something that people have taken comfort in a weird sort of way, is that it's not just the dental industry that's been impacted by this. You know, it's literally everything. Every industry in the UK and worldwide has been impacted by the pandemic. But that does, like you said, it doesn't mean it should put you off taking that next step if you feel it's something that you can do and that you want. I mean, moving away from the smaller practices, dental corporates is a question on everybody's mind. And before the pandemic, things were slowing down in on that side of things. Has this changed? Have you seen any change in this? And if so, what's happened?
Yeah, I think there was a bit of sort of media talk around sort of corporates pulling out as a result of COVID, and that certainly, you know, wasn't the case at the start, or rather the sort of two or three sort of biggest corporates had already sort of retracted from the market. And a lot of that was down to recruitment and integration issues that they'd had over the course of the last couple of years, sort of aggressive acquisition programs. Obviously the changes in NHS delivery will help, you know, tremendously, particularly where groups have recruited to or been trying to recruit to practices they've acquired in rural locations. And I think just touching on recruitment, I don't think that sort of recruitment issue and shortage of associates, I think in the long term it will return. But right now we have seen a big shift in recruitment and sort of where corporates, but anyone has struggled to recruit associates, I say in particular to rural locations. Right now, obviously, we're having to deliver a lot less dentistry because we're not able to. So that recruitment sort of problem, if you like, has gone away for the time being. And that obviously scaled across hundreds of practices has helped the corporates tremendously. But a lot of that was, a lot of so that change had sort of took place before COVID. I think it's fair to say that, you know, four or five of the larger groups pulled out of the market or put a hold on acquisitions. But in the last sort of 2-3 months, we've agreed deals with lots of national groups, corporate operators. I think it's fair to say most of them are back at the table with one or two exceptions. So that side of the market has come back and will come back over the coming weeks. And just to sort of give you a flavour of that, I think, you know, we've agreed as many deals in quarter three this year as we did in sort of quarter one and quarter two. You know, it's in terms of the amount of offers coming in, that's right across the market, you know, from first time buyers, regional groups and corporates. So I would say the market has rebounded.
That's good news. And it's good that there's a sort of spread across the whole market. But if you're saying sort of this interest, so there's been a spike in interest and it's, like you said, rebounded and it's coming back. Does this mean there's now more competition in the market?
Yeah, we have this unique sector, which we never really stop to think about, in that, you know, you have a £1 million practice that is of interest from, you know, Bupa and My Dentist, with the two biggest groups in the country, down to the associate in the practice who's got a good chance of getting a loan for it. And it is this bizarre sector in that everyone is fighting for the same practices. I think there's a feeling that, without sounding too defensive, I think there's a feeling that the agents have sort of created a lot of this sort of competitive bidding and all this tension. But, you know, there are agents there because there is a market. And I mentioned at the start, you know, the sort of imbalance between supply and demand, you know, the amount of people we have interested. The facts are, you know, and this will continue, there aren't enough practices that come to the market to feed that demand. So until something changes dramatically, like a corporate floods their whole portfolio to the market, you know, that's not going to change. It won't satisfy that demand. So yes, we have, you know, 8, 9, 10 people fighting for every practice, or certainly for most sort of good quality practices. So yeah, I can't see that changing.
Okay, no, that's interesting. So I know you guys focus, you don't just look at the dental industry, you look at lots of other sectors too. Is this pattern that you're seeing in dentistry, is it also being seen in other areas, or is it sort of unique to the dental industry?
I think it is a very unique industry. I think I mentioned the pharmacy sector before, which is probably the closest sector in essence, in the same, in the fact that you sort of have a regular sort of stream of patients or customers in their sense, and you have an NHS income, and which subsidised with private fees as well.
Yeah.
So I guess that's the closest sector. I mentioned pharmacy, and you know, I see more similarities with what pharmacy, as I mentioned, went through when they had their funding cuts a few years ago, and continued sort of issues with the price of drugs and the sort of everything that they have to undertake there. I guess the difference with that sector now is pharmacies haven't closed and did not close. So, you know, you'll know people in pharmacies, but my friend's a manager of the local pharmacy here, and you know, they had that sort of initial spell where they were busier than they've ever been. And, you know, that sort of panicking and stockpiling and all that sort of thing of people coming in, and then all the spacing out of people queuing down the streets and everything. But as I say, the practices or shops as they are didn't shut. So their market stayed relatively stable throughout. We deal with other sectors, as I mentioned, and obviously in the licensed trade, that was where the real difficulties were. So pubs and hotels, as you know, everyone knows, closed. And I think that's where we, as a company, we sort of had difficulties there. But, you know, I mentioned rebounding before, and, you know, there is going to be a huge rebound, and you know, it probably is the spring next year, I don't know, to own a pub. You know, once everything's settled, you want to own that pub, don't you? Once the floodgates open, or if there's a vaccine that comes. So like you said before, everyone will always need the dentist, but as a country we'll always choose to spend the money in pubs and hotels and restaurants. So I'm sure it will rebound.
Yeah, I have no doubt. And you mentioned a vaccine there. I think I saw this morning on the news they are predicting that it won't come before the springtime. So I think that's probably very accurate. Sort of keep that at the back of our minds as to when things are going to start to rebound and get a little bit less restrictive. I mean, you guys, so at Christie & Co, how, as a company, how did you sort of react to the pandemic? How did you change your, because I know a lot of companies had to mix things up in ways they never thought they'd have had to before. How was it working during lockdown?
Yeah, I think, as I said, nobody was prepared for this, were they? I think the big change has been through communication. And, you know, we as a dental team, and there's 10 of us dotted around the country, we would probably meet up once every month and sort of have a team meeting. We're sort of meeting every week or two now, which is brilliant. So internally, we're seeing more of us, more of each other, which is great. I think with clients, I think there's been obviously a big change there, because although we are and are sort of going to practices and meeting people face to face, and there's definitely no substitution for that, I think there was that initial lockdown stage where we couldn't do that, yeah. Or rather it was a struggle and people were uncomfortable with it potentially, and we sort of made sure that we did a lot of Zoom calls, and it's, you know, it's been this weird and wonderful way of doing things. But you know, it's we haven't really changed too much. You know, we've been around as a company for around 90 years, and you know, we've worked through, not myself of course,
I was gonna say, how old are you?
Worked through various recessions and changes. Yeah. I'm looking a bit older than my times at the moment. We've worked through various sort of recessions and changes in the market and the country. Perhaps nothing quite like this, but you know, it's just finding a different way to speak to people.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. And I think we're all looking forward to sort of getting back out there and meeting people in the old fashioned, I think people are now calling it the old fashioned way, which is face to face, because we've just got so used to looking at each other over across, yeah, Zoom and Teams or whatever platform anyone's using. So I've spoken to other people and they say this is, you know, in their however many years in dentistry, this is unlike anything they've ever seen. But I think going off what you said earlier, it is a robust industry and hopefully we'll come out of this sort of bigger and better, and better for it. I think we've got to take some positives away from it. I mean, have you guys, is there anything you're going to take away from this time as a company that you're going to sort of take forward with how you do things and how you operate?
Well, I said before, and you mentioned it as well, I think that we can't stop. It'd be very easy to say it'd be a lot quicker and cheaper for us all to just do everything via Zoom. You know, I we sort of touched upon it before, you know, I don't think there's any substitution for meeting people face to face. And you know, let's be clear, you know, we safely have taken the right precautions, PPE and risk assessments and things, but we have met people face to face regularly throughout this process, and that won't change. And you know, we'll continue to be available to meet with people. I think, as I say, it'd be very easy to sort of bring everything back to a screen, but you don't get that same feeling. It's reading the body language and just being there and be able to speak to them properly. So I think it'd be very easy, but we perhaps shouldn't do that. I think internally, as I said, you know, I think that's something we can do, and we can sort of keep in contact with the team more easily. But I think we should continue to do what we've done for many years.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, moving away, I guess, from dentistry a little bit now, in the dental industry, and talking more about you, outside of Christy & Co, I ask everybody this, by the way, at the end of the podcast, what do you like to do away from work? Anything anybody doesn't know about you, any hobbies?
Well, the team would know, but I'm a huge cricket fan, and tends to be quite a big sport in the sector, and along with golf. So yeah, I'm a huge cricket fan, and so regularly take clients and colleagues to cricket games and football as well. But so cricket's probably my real passion in terms of with the job. So yeah, I'm missing that tremendously.
I was going to say,
I just can't watch it, and I can't exactly invite a client round to watch it on Sky, and I can't now. It's lockdown, so there you go.
Yeah, it definitely makes put everything on hold. I think my dad's a massive cricket fan, and he's just, the fact that he hasn't been able to watch it as often as he's liked has got to him quite a lot. Talks about it every time I see him, so yeah, I'm sure he can relate to that. But yeah, no, well, thank you very much for taking the time out to chat to me today. It's been really interesting, and it's good to hear the market's rebounding, and long may it continue to do so.
No, that's great. Thanks, Gabby.